Kevin Overton is back on the Auburn Tigers. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And that's right. We said it. Kevin Overton is officially back on the Auburn Tigers roster. That is the post, and they also posted earlier, I think a minute before this, that the GM was ready to deliver some good news, and it is much needed good news, because it kind of, even though this is bigger news,
Kevin Overtime.
I love that nickname, Kevin Overtime.
Because he's clutch and OT.
He is. He is cold-blooded, ice in his veins, Kevin Overtime, a.k.a. Kevin Overton. He is back, like we said. But also, we have some other news that Filip Jovic is gone, which is interesting. But the portal is causing so much chaos already. So, Graham, let's just get into it. So,
like Filip Jovic has left.
So, Kevin Overton is back. We talked about it a little bit the other day, how, and you mentioned it before we started recording, that him and Tahad were going to have a talk about the future of, hey, are we going to, what are we going to do? What's our plan? What are we going to do? I like this. I like that he's back. Now, what does that mean for Tahad? Obviously, they're two separate human beings, and they're not going to be like, you know, well, if you go, I'll go. You know what I mean? Or if you stay, I stay. You know what I mean? This isn't a Steve Harrington, Dustin Henderson situation. Like, if you die, I die type of thing. No, it's not. But I like the chances of us getting Tahad back. Does that mean we're guaranteeing getting him back? We're not saying that at all. But what is your opinion of this?
I think it's a positive step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I still don't know if he's going to come back. There's still so much in the air. But, I mean, like, you know, I was talking to somebody, and they said that, you know, before the NIT tournament, there was about a 0% chance of Tahad Pettiford returning for next year. Mm-hmm. And then after the NIT tournament, that jumped significantly into like the probably the 30 to 50 range, I'd say, of confidence. And now people are saying it's pretty much a 50-50 shot if he stays or leaves. So that in itself is good. Apparently, you know, the NIT for Tahad and Stevens' relationship was really important.
Yeah.
I think it helped them, you know, to help them grow a stronger relationship, and I think that's important. So that in itself is a reason to be thankful that we did take this NIT invite, because of that right there. So hopefully, I mean, yeah, I would love for Tahad to come back. Hopefully Overton's like, dude, I'm coming back. Let's run this back here at Auburn. This staff's going to bring in the right guys, to help us, you know, to support us. So let's run it back next year. So hopefully that's the case. And that would be so electric if Tahad Pettiford returned.
Yeah, I agree. It would be very electric if he returns. I was more leaning towards, I think he's leaving, but now after, you know, them having this meeting, now Kevin Overton's back within like, you know, a day or two after he said that in the press conference, means they've already sat down and talked. I expected
this Overton announcement to take a little bit more time than it did. And I'm so thankful it didn't. You know, I'm thankful that we've already got him locked in. But I was expecting this conversation to take a while to not just be to come out like that. But like I said, thank goodness it did. And hopefully it's a good thing that it happened this quickly in regards to Tahad.
Yeah, I was expecting this like Friday, Saturday.
Same. Like, I was like, maybe like early next week or end of this week, maybe we'll have an announcement.
Yeah. But, and hey, it's a good sign that.
It was important, you know, that they wanted to make sure that they wanted Overton to know that, look, you are a priority for us, and we're gonna, you know, give you what you need to stay. And then clearly, you know, in 24 hours after getting home, that sounds like that's exactly what they did. Yeah. And he made his decision. He's like, all right, let's do this. I'm running it back. So
yeah,
it's really exciting. Really exciting.
I'm amped. Kevin Overton is my favorite player on this team.
And also, what great news to get after, I'd say, the majority of this Auburn fan base being absolutely blindsided by the news of Filip Jovic hitting the portal.
Dude.
Absolutely blindsided by it. And so what a great bit of news after having to deal with that.
This definitely balances out, but I think it outweighs as far as like,
outweighs for sure. Because I Overton was above Jovic on my list of
for sure
to keep. And so I think 100% it outweighs Jovic leaving.
Yeah. And I think
Jovic had unbelievable upside. I really do think he, had upside, but he's also, I do think he's replaceable. Like, if I'm being so honest, there's so many other guys out there that we can get in the portal that can play just like he did or even better. So I'm not, it sucks. I wish he would have stayed. We'll go into it in a minute after we finish talking about Overton. And it sounds like a lot of it has to do with agents, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I don't know, when I say it caught me off guard, it wasn't like I was sad, but it was more of like, I saw Filip Jovic having potential upside that like, and I think Zach even talked about it. Like, it's not what's happening right now. It's what he can be next year.
Yeah. This was his first year in college sports. I mean, he's going to grow and get better in this league. And so I agree. I think he had a lot of potential, but. And like I said, I'm not devastated over this news of him leaving. I just was caught off guard by it. I was under the impression that he was pretty much locked in for next year. But it just sounds like an agent told Jovic, like, "Hey, dude, this is what we think you're gonna be worth in this portal cycle." And they offered it, or they asked Auburn, and Auburn said, "That's ridiculous. Absolutely not. We're not giving someone this much money who only scored in the paint. And didn't even shoot a 3-point shot this entire year, and you're not even a center." Like, yes, I get you played the center role partially during the NIT tournament and stuff like that, but throughout the year, he was not a true center.
Yeah.
And only scored in the paint. So Alvin's like, "Dude, you're good and we want you here and you have upside, but what you just asked, we're not giving that to you." And I completely agree with Auburn on this one. That was a ridiculous amount of money that he asked for.
Yeah, and we can get into the details in that in a minute, why it was asked and what the amount potentially was, because it's been, you never know, what's true and what's not, but I've seen multiple tweets about,
I think Justin Hogenson tweeted a number, and we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. And just real quick before we get into that, I want to bring up one more thing about Overton. We talked about it on previous things, including when we had Brett on here and when we've talked off air about it. If we can get Tahad back, right, and we get a true point guard and convince Tahad to play the two and Overton potentially to play like the three, kind of similar to what Miles Kelly did, where you can have a kind of a spot up, 3-point shooter and someone that's able to drive to the hoop, but mostly known for a shooting. Oh my God.
KO would be a great three. Yeah, 100%.
Oh my God. If we can
have Tahad play the two, KO be the three, get someone in the portal for the four. We have Narcisse at the five, and then we get a good point guard to run it. We could have a very good team next year.
Yeah, I think
we could.
I think other potential people leaving, I think for sure, probably Magwood and Amika
Purim. I don't expect Magwood to stay.
And then
is another one that I'm not 100% confident in staying.
And then another name that's kind of been swept under the radar because he didn't really get a lot of playing time because he was also injured is Bashir.
I think he's gone for sure. I just don't think I think the staff realized once he got here that his play just wasn't at the level of SEC.
He also had a back injury.
He had a back injury, but I mean, once he healed from that, I think the staff realized that he wasn't
similar to Magwood. He can't play defense.
Well, not even that. It's like Magwood can play in the SEC, and he will eventually, I think. I really do believe that. I just don't think Bashir had all the traits and physicality and stuff to be. I mean, he's a small person.
He is. You're not wrong.
And obviously, having that injury prevented him from putting on some of the weight that you need at this level.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think everything was there for him. Now, I wish him the best, and I really don't expect him to be here in the future, but that's my take on the Bashir situation.
It is interesting that Bashir's brother entered the portal the other day when you had all those.
Last year, Bashir's brother is the one that I wanted out of the portal last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was coming from, I can't remember, Monmouth, I think it was. And I had some friends at the game last year, and apparently he went into the tunnel with our coaching staff after the game. So I don't know what that means,
You think we could potentially use his brother's leverage to like get him to come? And no. Maybe you think we're just going to move on? No. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Also, I don't know how much this staff would really want his brother.
That's fair.
I don't think they do. I think there's other bigger fish in the waters that they want to go after instead of him. So
yeah, but I'm personally glad that we got Overton back. The next priority for me, if I'm the staff and Stephen Pearl, give Freeman what he needs and what he wants, and then
Freeman and Tahad.
Yeah, him and Tahad, and then go from there and start to rebuild this roster. And please, for the love of God, add some depth and some guys that are, you know, have some ability to play defense and add a big man other than the guy we already have. We need depth at the center desperately. It shows, especially this past tournament, it was dominated by the big man. So it's, we need somebody that's not, I'm not saying we need a Yaxel. It would have been great to have a Yaxel, but, we need, you know, those athletic big guys that, you know, can cause some chaos down below the rim. So, but you know what else is needed, Graham, in your closet? Roback. That's exactly what's needed.
Absolutely.
So go to roback.com, use code BARN20 to get 20% off your order. They have some new polos out actually for the Masters. I just got the text about that today, as well as some stuff pertaining to the national champions over there at Michigan as well. So if you're a Michigan fan and you're for some reason listening to this podcast, they have that there too. But they also have officially licensed Auburn gear, as well as polos and the hoodie you see on your screen. Me and Graham have the navy one. We like it a lot. It's lightweight, great for those spring nights and upcoming summer nights that might have a little bit of a breeze, or if you're out on the water, you know, at the lake or the beach and there's a little bit of a breeze, they're good to wear and protect you from the sun. So highly recommend. Again, that is code BARN20 at roback.com. Again, code BARN20 at roback.com to get 20% off your order. We're thankful for their partnership with the Barn and the Barn Social Hour. Also, AUShirts.com. If you want to feel like you are kind of a part of the Barn and want to support and wear the lore out everywhere you go, or drink out of a cup, or, you know, whatever it is that you just feel necessary, go to AUShirts.com, get you a hat, a shirt, a hoodie, a cup, or all three. And feel like you are connected to the Barn every single day. It's AUShirts.com. I'm looking at that iron tee. I'm a big fan of that. The FE shirts. If you know, you know what that means. So I like that shirt a lot. That and the 17, like the Superman looking shirt. So big fan of that. Might get a cup for my dad or something like that too. But we'll see. But AUShirts.com. We highly recommend y'all go there to get your gear if you want to, you know, feel like you're supporting the Auburn lore, or the Barn lore, if you will, from the Barncast. So again, that's AUShirts.com to go purchase that. So Graham, let's get into this whole Jovich situation, because I'm not pissed about it, but it's more upsetting. If it makes sense, because it's become more and more evident, and it, you know, it might be just me living under a rock, but I think agents are a major player in the cancer of what college football and college basketball, or just college sports in general, has turned into. And the agents are, they don't care about the school. They care about what money goes in their client's pocket. So they get a cut of that, you know, that, What's the term I'm looking for here? Oh my gosh. Like when a realtor sells you a house, commission, just like a cut of that. I couldn't think, but it's just, I don't know. And them going into, you know, this negotiating with Jovich, and had the audacity to go in the office and be like, hey, Jovich deserves $2 million. $2 million for a guy that didn't even take a 3-point shot, that just scored in the paint and only averaged, what was it, like 6 points a game, like throughout the regular season? What? You want $2 million? If man, I just
bro, there's some like absolute studs in the league in college basketball that aren't getting $2 million, mm-hmm. and they won't. That's just really, yeah.
That's absurd.
And again, this number has been reported. I don't like,
yeah,
I'm not 100% sure if it's 1,000% true, but that's still just insane. Like nobody's getting $2 million. I'm so sorry. It's not happening.
No, and I love Jovic, but he's not worth $2 million. I'm sorry, he's not. And granted, the upside of this,
I don't even know if he's worth $1 million.
No, and I just he has potential to be really good. Because he's got the fundamentals down. You saw the video at the start, before the season even started, where he was draining three-point shots and did not miss a shot, okay? But it was in practice. Never took a three-point shot at all. He was always in the paint and was having to, I don't know, it was not exactly the best-looking, you know, two-point shot or, you know, just layup in general. Like, it was something wild, but it would just drop. And, you know, we'd make the joke on the Barncast that it was very European. But I just don't, the audacity of an agent to go in there and be like, yeah, my client wants $2 million. They're ruining these guys' careers. They are, plain and simple. An example of this also, and granted, it might have already been set in stone prior to this. They were just trying to get money out of Auburn and, you know, milk the cash cow, if you will. Cam Coleman's agent. That's another example. Whenever all this happens.
Seems to be a common theme where programs or agents or players, mm-hmm. use Auburn as a leverage to get more money out of somebody else.
Yeah, we were talking about this last night. We had some people over to watch the national championship game, and it was a topic of conversation while we were eating dinner. We were like, yeah, they've kind of turned into the bridge of like, hey, let's see how much money we can milk, and then let's see the school that we actually want to go to will pay. And you saw that with the Axel and Auburn and then him going to Michigan. It just crazy. And you can't expect these players, and that's why like I'm kind of shocked the Overton news broke so soon, because we're recording this at 3:30 and the news broke roughly about 20 minutes ago around this time.
Probably about 20 or 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, something like that. So it's just like, I'm shocked, but at the same time, it's like, what are these agents thinking? Like, they are trying, and I get you're trying to get your client the most money possible. That is their job. I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how sleazy can you be to go into an office knowing good and well they're not worth $2 million and be with a straight face, be like, yeah, my client wants $2 million. Oh, yeah. Let's just
pull that out. I want to add,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I want to add into this. This is not set in stone. Jovic's agent is fishing,
of course,
for a better offer somewhere else. I, in my opinion, I think that Auburn gave Jovic a number and was like, "All right, this is what we're going to pay you for you to be back next year." And his agent was like, "We're going to go find something better." So he's fishing right now, seeing the market and seeing where or who might offer him more. And then if they can't find anything, because obviously I think that's going to be hard to find. I don't know what Auburn's offer was, but I mean, it ain't going to be anywhere close to $2 million. I don't think any program in the country will offer him $2 million.
No.
And so it'll be interesting to see. Like, Jovic could still make a return to Auburn if the market isn't like they thought it was going to be. And personally, I don't think it will be.
No.
Who knows if a school offers a little bit more than we did. I don't even know if we have offered him yet, but I think they're just kind of testing the market.
Yeah, and don't get it twisted. And I agree with you 100%, by the way. You hit that. It's like free agency, basically, you know, if you just want an example of that. But and I don't want people to get it twisted. We wouldn't be mad if Jovic came back. Okay, we wouldn't be mad at all, because again, the upside of what his potential can be is through the roof, because he's a very talented player. He's just kind of new to this form of basketball. You know what I mean? Because he was playing over in Europe. You know what I mean? And I can't remember. I'm going blank on what country he's from, but Serbia. Any from Serbia? Or am I tripping?
Who? Jovic? No, he's from Bosnia.
Bosnia? Okay, I was way off.
Yeah, Bosnia. They don't like it when you confuse them with Serbians. So
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. but I hope that, you know, they see his true value and maybe he'll come back. If he doesn't, no big deal. I'm glad he chose Auburn for his first school to, you know, experience college basketball. And if he comes back, great. If not, nobody hurt. It just leaves more money open on the table for Tahad or Freeman or whoever else we're trying to go after in the portal, which is, by the way, speaking of the portal, did you see the stat? As soon as midnight struck last night, they started playing One Shining Moment after the coverage of the national championship ended. You know, it's like one shine and then ding dong, midnight. You know how many players were in the portal immediately?
Like over 3,000?
Over 1,000. Yeah, over 1,000. That is absurd. That is absurd. The fact that this is where this is the dark side of NIL, where it is just a absolute chaos fest out there. It is just the cesspool of agents that are so greedy that it's like, hey, yeah, our guy wants this. Our guy wants this. Our guy wants this much. This guy, like, we want $1 million. We want $2 million. We want five. Like, it's nuts. It's free agency.
Yeah. And I want to bring up real quick.
Yeah.
So Mike G just tweeted out.
Love Mike G.
About the Kevin Overton deal 36 minutes ago. So I want to bring this up. I just want to read it out. So he said, I'd bet good money that hitting what ultimately ended up being the game-saving/winning shot in the NIT helped this decision. He'll easily be one of the best players in the SEC next year, and he's returning.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's about Kevin Overton, but that's so awesome.
And, like, granted, like, he was great before he got to Auburn. He played at Texas Tech, for God's sakes.
Can you imagine if he doesn't hit those shots and he transfers? Auburn loses the NIT. It looks super embarrassing that Auburn lost the NIT. Kind of hurts the legacy of this team, like everyone on this team. And I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. The butterfly effect.
Those two shots and that one shot in the corner to send us to overtime really could have saved Auburn basketball.
Yeah, the butterfly effect of the NIT.
In the long run. I'm not meaning like right now, like we're going to be in the Final Four next year, but in
the long run. Yeah.
I think hitting that shot really could have stopped Auburn basketball from getting set back a couple of years.
Yeah, and also, too, you mentioned it kind of at the top of the show, like how important it was for us to accept this in terms of Tahad's, you know, potential decision to come back or not, and his, you know, relationship with Steven. Like, people yesterday were ragging on Auburn, saying like, oh, they need to distance themselves as soon as they can from the NIT. And I'm like, how are we going to do that when we just won the whole thing? Like, what kind of logic is that? I just don't, I don't know. It was kind of idiotic, honestly, to make those statements yesterday for some people. And I no disrespect, but I just think y'all are very wrong about that. I think I know the whole conversation about, well, you know, I saw this one tweet yesterday. It's like, well, I'd rather you lose to Yale in the first round than, you know, and I'm like, are you nuts? Like, you don't like the win? You would rather embarrassingly lose to Yale than win a chance. I know it's not the NCAA tournament. I understand that. And I'm sure people will go after me. I don't care. Okay. I do not care. I've heard worse. Okay. So please try me. But we came home with hardware after we had a season that was honestly a letdown turned into a massive positive.
And yeah, granted, man, it brought some momentum for the program.
Yeah, it's not an A plus really, season.
Overton's back. That's momentum right there. I mean, who knows what the decision is if we don't take that NIT.
Yeah.
You know?
Who knows? But like,
I want to, like, Village Vice had a really good point today. Brad said that, like, you know, how they're like, well, I'm not putting up, don't put a banner up for this. Like, I'm sorry. University of North Carolina has a banners up for NIT appearances.
So does Alabama.
Alabama has banners in their arena that say NIT on them. And they're like, I would not be hanging a banner for this. That's pathetic. I was like, what? Like, how can you say something like that? You just can't. You don't want Auburn fans to be happy. You really just can't, you know, accept that something decent, you know, in their eyes is happening to them. So you have to find a way to hurt it. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah, it's honestly comical too, because everyone's like, "Yeah, I would if I'm Auburn, I'd distance themselves as quickly as possible." Oh yeah, you have banners in your arena, in that aircraft carrier of an arena that you have. It is insane to make that statement. Oh my gosh, it doesn't even. It again, idiotic. The fact that you would even say that is mind blowing to me. I do not get it. I do not get that narrative at all. I think it's ridiculous. You come home with hardware, you celebrate it. Sorry, I would rather win some hardware than lose to Yale or whoever in the first round of an NCAA tournament. Yeah, you made the tournament, cool, but now you're out. Cool. Then what? You're done. You're done. Yeah. We got the opportunity to play. We accept it. We weren't like Notre Dame and took our ball and went home because we, you know, missed the playoff. At least go out and try your best in the bowl game, in this case, the NIT, and we won the whole freaking thing. Come home with hardware. I don't care. It's great. The guys were excited after the, like, even though Overton, I will say, and I will point this out, Overton's like, we got it done, and that's what, you know, you finished the job, regardless of how disappointing the season was. Like I was trying to say, this wasn't an A-plus season, okay? It was like a C-minus, maybe went up to a C-plus after we won the NIT, but still. It's hardware that these guys can remember for the rest of their lives that, hey, even though we had a very heavy adversity season, we got a trophy out of it. Sure, it's not a national championship, but it's something.
It is a national championship.
Well, yeah. It is. Yeah, it's a nationally
recognized. It's not the NCAA March Madness tournament national championship, but it is a national championship.
It's the National Invitational Tournament.
Yeah, that's got national in the name, so it's a national championship.
Boom. Got him. But, yeah, sorry to go on a little rant there, but I just thought it was ridiculous that people had the audacity to be like, the fact that people were making the argument that this means nothing, and I get in the long run a national championship from the NCAA March Madness tournament means more. I understand that.
Also, people talk about how Auburn is one of, you know, three teams to end a postseason tournament on a win. That's momentum right there. Auburn has the second longest win streak in all of college basketball.
Yeah, and some of these people with peanut brains that were making these comments don't realize the impact that this will make in the long run for their careers overall, because they got game experience in a tournament environment.
Yeah, our players are just getting better.
Yeah, the last
Kevin Overton shot 48% of three from the 3-point line in the last 16 games of the year. That includes NIT games. He got better over the end of the tournament. Filip Jovic got better over the end of the tournament. He got more experience. Awesome. He was playing better basketball.
Yes.
Even Tahad even looked better in some moments. Not the second half of the NIT championship game, but the first half he looked like old Tahad again. And he's had other good games. I mean, this whole team got more basketball experience, and that's super important.
Yeah, you don't get that sitting at home after losing in the first, second, you know, whatever round of the NCAA tournament. Yes, you get tournament.
If Auburn would have come in and gotten embarrassed by South Alabama in the first round of the NIT tournament, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that was a big mistake. Yeah. We shouldn't have taken that.
Of course.
We shouldn't have accepted that bid. But that, I think a lot of Auburn fans knew that wasn't super likely, and that after looking at the field of play for the NIT tournament, that they, yeah, let's do it. Let's just go win this whole thing. And that's what they ended up doing.
Yeah. And do you have a lot of people too on the other side of the coin being like proud that Auburn did this, because they proved that you don't have to take your ball and go home. You can actually do something out of a season that was kind of a disappointment. You know what I mean? Like it I don't know, man, the logic that some of these peanut brain people were saying yesterday, it just makes you look like an absolute fool. And I'm glad some people got exposed yesterday. So I don't have anything else. I'm going to catch my breath. And by the way, real quick, because we like to nerd out on this show. If you haven't started the Maul series yet on Disney Plus, the new Star Wars show, holy cow. Go watch it. It is, if you like The Dark Knight, it is a crime thriller, but it's Star Wars. And it is phenomenal. I love it. That being said, I have nothing else to add to you.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Will Mensel stuff tomorrow.
Yes, we will cover that tomorrow.
Will Mensel stuff tomorrow. We're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time, but a lot of good footage coming out of the practice today, and then the Will Mensel stuff. It's football stuff is starting to heat up big time right now, and I couldn't be more excited. A-Day's right around the corner. Baseball, by the way, baseball has a game tonight against Jacksonville State. Should be a good one. Jacksonville State is, I believe, undefeated in conference play. So it'll be a good game for sure, and we'll see what happens with that one. So that'll be something to look forward to tonight. But yeah, with that being said, I ain't got nothing else. You got anything?
Nope.
Cool. All right. Well, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe to the other awesome podcasts on here, including this one that you're listening to now. Like the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, a.k.a. Kyle Rush, and Village Vice with Brad Law and Zach Blackerby, as well as the College Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera, and as well as the Hoop Show with Jacob as well. So y'all go peep those when you get a chance, and like and subscribe if you like what you're listening to. So again, we appreciate y'all. We're thankful for y'all. And as always, we will see you next time, and war damn.
Goodbye.